Good evening, and welcome to the Cephalo Group's full year 2017 results. This call may contain forward-looking statements relating to future events and operating, economic, and financial results for Cephalo Group. Such forecasts, due to their nature, imply a component of risk and uncertainty due to the fact that they depend on the occurrence of certain future events and developments. The actual results may therefore vary even significantly to those announced in relation to a multitude of factors. Today's participants are Eugenio Roselli, Executive Chairman, Gerrit Gressler, Chief Financial Officer, and Barbara Ferrante, Director of Investor Relations. I will now pass the call over to Mr. Roselli, Executive Chairman. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Hello, good evening to everybody. My name is Eugenio Roselli. I am in the limelight only for tonight. As you know, the new CEO, Angelo Trocchia, is joining the 1st of April. And by the way, Angelo was as a guest today in the board meeting we held as Cephalo. So my job is to make a few comments about the slide number 2. 2017 was a complex year for Cephalo. The transformation of the Gucci license into a supply agreement meant a net drop in sales of 155 million. While our going-forward portfolio declined 39 million, affected by the difficult implementation of the new order-to-cash system in the Padua distribution center. Impacting our service level, the new order intake opportunities, in particular in our core European markets. The group's economic and financial results were significantly affected by these two events. On the positive side, emerging markets show positive going forward portfolio trends during the full year, up around 15%, driven mainly by Central, Eastern Europe and India, Middle East, and African markets. And in the second half of 17, our going forward portfolio returned to growth in our Asian market for the first time after many quarters. Also, our own core brands performed better versus the previous years, driven by good collection and increasing brand value recognition. On the operational side, the group progressed in modernizing its manufacturing asset and reducing the number of distribution centers. And by December 17, we executed about half of our 25-30 million overhead saving programs announced in 16, on track to be completed fully by the end of December 18, 1 year ahead of the plan. I go now back where I started. We look forward towards, you know, the current year as really a fresh start for Cephalo, with appointment of Angelo Trocchia as the new CEO, effective with the next shareholder meeting, to take the company through a new phase of successful business execution and brand portfolio development with the support of our many thousands of talented and skilled employees. I turn now the stage to Gerrit. Please, Gerrit.
Thank you, Eugenio. I will try as usual to give you a comprehensive picture of the main facts and figures that characterize the year in general and the fourth quarter more specifically, as well as the core drivers and expectations we have for 2018. 2017 was indeed a difficult year for us, top and bottom line. Sales dropped 15.5% at constant exchange rates to 1,047 million euros. As anticipated at the end of January, adjusted EBITDA stopped at 41.1 million euros, down 53.7%, while group net debt increased to 131.6 million. As highlighted by Eugenio and discussed by us over the course of the different quarters, we had two key events impacting the year negatively. 2017 was always meant to be a transition year for Cephalo, the first without the Gucci license and its transformation into the product supply agreement with Kering Eyewear, the so-called SPPA. A change that was planned to allow us to recover more or less one-third of the total business we generated in 2016 with the Gucci license. This is indeed what happened, and the final gap which materialized on this front was a net sales decline of 155 million. So of the total net sales decline at constant exchange rates of 15.5%, 12.3% was explained by the change of the Gucci license into a supply agreement, and this was expected. What went differently from our initial expectation was the opportunity to recover another third of the Gucci exit through the growth of our going forward brand portfolio. This opportunity did not materialize last year, and the negative performance of the portfolio, the 39 million just highlighted by Eugenio, meant another 3.2% decline of our total business. This result was heavily affected by the implementation of the new order-to-cash IT system in our global Padua distribution center at the very beginning of the year, and while we recovered by June all the deliveries missed at the end of the first quarter, the effects of the poor service level continued up until the fourth quarter, impacting order-taking opportunities on the spring-summer collection, but also eventually impacting the fall-winter collection. At the end of the year, we performed a deeper analysis on this matter and concluded that at least 45 million euros of sales and a quite significant related profit were lost last year because of these delivery issues. Western Europe turned out to be the most affected of our regions, while Asia and the rest of the world, after a difficult Q1, recovered well, in particularly starting from the second half of the year. As also discussed in our previous calls, on top of our specific issues, the year was particularly challenging for Dior and certainly for Marc Jacobs. Dior, because of its comp space after two quite extraordinary years of development for the brand, Marc Jacobs had instead to absorb the transition from its two historical brands, Marc Jacobs and Marc by Marc, to one brand, as Marc by Marc was definitely discontinued by the fashion house. As already highlighted, on the positive side and despite the troubles, 2017 was a better year for our own core brands and overall positive also for the rest of our licenses, altogether growing low single digits. Smith in particular had a very positive year, up double digits, and it continued to grow market share in the winter sport business, but also progressing in its development of the eyewear category. Polaroid has a positive exit to the year, growing in the second half, while on a full-year basis remaining in line with the previous year. All considered, and Polaroid is a high-volume brand quite affected by the distribution issues in the first half, this was for us a significant result. On Carrera, we did not completely accomplish the objective we had for the year to stop the decline and stabilize the brand, but even more in this case, we tend to consider some underlying trends encouraging. Carrera was more impacted than our other own core brands by the slowdown we suffered in the south of Europe, but the underlying work and appreciation of collections was not missing last year, and this, in our view, bodes well for the current year. And finally, 2017 was also a decent year for our historical specialist optical brand Safilo, which started its relaunch in the fourth quarter of 2017. Our economic performance was clearly driven by the different top-line dynamics, which were all particularly impacting at the gross profit level, as well as negatively influencing our operational leverage, including an extra cost of 4 million euros for managing the recovery of the Padua DC-related issues. Our negative operating performance was also the main driver behind the increase in net debt. Let me then move to some further details of our P&L and balance sheet. As in the remainder of the presentation, we will discuss our adjusted economic results. I want to first provide some explanation of what our non-recurring items and costs for the year refer to. As anticipated in a specific communication we released at the end of February, 2017 results were affected by a non-cash impairment loss of 192 million euros on the goodwill allocated to the group cash-generating units. For the purpose of our financial statements and the impairment test to be performed annually, we determined the recoverable value of our cash-generating units. This work, which resulted in this impairment charge, was also based on the lower-than-planned economic results that we have achieved in the last 3 years and the more challenging industry context in which Safilo operates, factors for which we have assumed, therefore, a more moderate future sales growth and a recovery of profitability through a more marked revision of our cost structure. This year was then further impacted by non-recurring costs for a total of 15 million euros at the EBITDA level in the full year and 10.9 million in the fourth quarter. These are related to the reorganization of the Ormož plant in Slovenia and further cost saving and restructuring initiatives, as well as some legal litigations. Due to all these non-recurring items, the group reported a net loss of 251.6 million euros. I skip slide 5, as all the numbers are available for consultation, and I move to our performance by geographical area. To recap our total reported business performance by geographical area at constant exchange rates for year, we can first note two outliers. On the positive side, the rest of the world, which includes India, Middle East, Africa, and Latin America, countries that we have more recently started to build behind the development of all our portfolio, where the exit of the Gucci license was almost entirely offset by the growth of the rest of the portfolio, with the region now accounting for 8.7% of our total business from 7.3% in 2016. With sales of 91 million euros in 2017, the rest of the world declined by 1.3% after posting an 8% growth in Q3 and 18.6% in Q4. On the other hand, our total business in Asia almost halved in 2017, down 42.3%, strongly impacted by the exit of the Gucci business, to which the region was historically overproportionately exposed. As you know, we started 2 years ago to restructure and reposition our presence in the region with the objective to develop sustainably all our portfolio. Our developed markets, Europe and North America wholesale, recorded a full year all-in decline of 12.2% and 16.2% respectively. Looking at the fourth quarter, our total sales were 249.2 million euros, declining by 16.9% or 53 million euros compared to the same quarter of 2016. 14% out of the 16.9% or 44 million euros of this drop was explained by the transformation of the Gucci license into a supply agreement, while the remaining 3% occurred behind the decline of our going forward brand portfolio. As you may remember, Q4 2016 was a sizable quarter in which we phased out Gucci and sold its remaining stock to Kering. To note, in our quarterly total sales performance was the more moderate decline recorded in Asia and the clear deterioration of the trends in Europe, in both cases behind the performance of the going forward portfolio. Let's then move further on to this. So in 2017, our going forward brands declined by 3.9%, both full year and when excluding the retail business, while it dropped by 3.7% in the fourth quarter. Q4 did not turn out in line with our expectations, and this was due to the very weak performance we recorded in Europe, down 17.8%, and to some softness experienced in North America, down 3.8% in the wholesale business, while retail performed positively. With regards to Europe, while north of Europe performed well, our core southern European markets suffered, with the drivers of the overall group performance being most exacerbated here. On one side, the soft order intake we had already signaled in Q3 became even more marked in the last quarter, especially in countries like Italy, France, and Spain, which are more exposed to the sun category and the related seasonality of the business. In a nutshell, we entered late, and in some cases very late, many stores in which part of the summer season was already gone, and the consequent sellout was not fast enough to allow a good replenishment with our new collection. On the other side, these are also the core markets for our Dior and Marc Jacobs brands in particular, and the downturn of these two brands impacted Southern Europe quite substantially. So that's where we missed our quarter. On the other hand, North America was soft behind the weak business environment persisting in department stores, which is affecting in particular our high-end brands and also some areas of commercial reorganization still ongoing in the independent opticians channel, while our retail chain Solstice performed well and grew comp store sales. As already highlighted, Q4 saw very positive trends in Asia and in the rest of the world, with the latter growing going forward brands by almost 30%. In Asia, the portfolio declined by 3.2% in the full year, but it showed a quite significant turnaround in the second semester, growing 11% at constant exchange rates after an increase of 12.6% in the fourth quarter. Moving to our industrial and operating performance, in the fourth quarter, gross profit margin dropped 340 basis points from 48.3% of net sales to 44.9%. With the dilutive effect of the supply agreement as the recurring item of the year, although of a smaller magnitude in the quarter as some SPPA was already in the base period. In the quarter, like in the year, we had a very small impact from the retail performance, while we incurred a quite significant continuation of the negative sales mix recorded in the previous 9 months. This was, again, mainly driven by brand mix on the one side, behind the decline of Dior and Marc Jacobs that I mentioned, the drop of which, differently from our expectations, remained in line with what we had seen in the previous quarters. On the brand mix side also, and this was expected, we had the end of license effect of Celine license exiting the portfolio, but also the growth of Smith, which has a lower than average gross margin, typical of sport products. So this is the part of the brand mix. On the other side, the geographical mix of sales was also a meaningful factor in determining our quarterly performance, as we suffered more in our most profitable countries. In the quarter, we had the important expected positive impact coming from the reduction of obsolescence costs, very high in the base period of last year, and this allowed us to offset completely the suboptimal absorption of industrial fixed costs, which were due to the lower sales volumes. The latter negative effect on the gross margin includes also reclassification, which took place mainly between Q3 and Q4, of some costs from G&A to COGS, which were neutral at the EBITDA level and follow the rollout of our new accounting IT systems and the better tagging of costs. Our fiscal year gross profit margin declined to 49.6% of net sales compared to 57.1% in full year of 2016, again with half of the 750 basis points decline explained by the SPPA and the related dynamics, and the rest between sales mix and lower capacity and cost absorption, which were partially offset by these lower obsolescence costs. Moving on to the operating level, operating margin in Q4, the gap accumulated at the gross profit level was further increased by negative operational leverage, mainly emerging from the different phasing of some selling and marketing costs. In particular, marketing and advertising, on which we had booked some savings in the second half of 16 and more specifically in Q4 in 2017, were intentionally slowed down in the first part of the year since we were not having all the products in store, but with key activities planned and restored then indeed starting from Q4 2017. On the positive side, in the quarter, further savings from our overhead productivity plan materialized, taking the total annual overhead savings to 13 million euros, which is halfway through our total objectives on this program, as I will discuss later on. As already highlighted by the indications provided at the end of January, Q4 reported an adjusted EBITDA loss of 2.1 million, taking the full year adjusted EBITDA to 41.1 million, or 3.9% of sales from 7.1% in 2016. Below the operating line, on the other items that drove our 2017 adjusted group net result, we had an increase of the net financial charges to 14 million euros from 6.4 million in 2016, which was mainly due to the negative effect of net exchange rate differences and to the mark-to-market valuation of the equity component of the bond, while net interest charges remained relatively stable. Income taxes in 2017 increased to 29.4 million euros due to the recognition and write-down of deferred tax assets relating to some legal entities for which the realization of sufficient future taxable profit were not considered probable. To note, the vast majority of Safilo's historic loss carry-forwards are unlimited in time and thus can be activated in future years in case of higher taxable income. As you can imagine, the group effective tax rate was primarily affected by the significant non-recurring items, not tax deductible, that have affected the result before tax of the period. Overall, the group adjusted net result of the year equaled a loss of 47.1 million euros. In 2017, free cash flow was negative for 70.1 million compared to a positive free cash flow of 44.7 million euros in 2016. which included at the time the second of three early termination compensation payments of 30 million euros received in December 2016 from Kering. The cash flow from operating activities, negative for 31.1 million euros, reflected the negative economic performance of the year and a cash absorption from working capital of 36 million euros, which factored in particular the decrease of other payables due to the accounting of the Kering compensation in the year. On the other hand, net working capital generated a positive 5.5 million euros, with inventories remaining pretty much stable compared to the previous year, and on accounts receivable DSO improving slightly. Overall, the working capital incidence on net sales moved from 20.9% in 2016 to 22.1% in 2017. In the year, we invested 39 million euros in CapEx to continue modernizing a product supply and logistics network and to roll out iWay, our IT systems overhaul. Finally, group net debt at the end of December stood at 131.6 million euros, slightly below the position we reported at the end of September 2017. The 2017 financial leverage stood at 2x adjusted EBITDA. For the calculation of the leverage ratio, we do not only adjust 2017 reported EBITDA for the 15.2 million of non-recurring cost, but also the 4 million euro of exceptional cost incurred in relation to the Padua DC IT system issues, and include also the profit impact loss resulting from the lost revenues estimated at 45 million euros that I mentioned before. With regards to 2018, as Eugenio said, 2018 needs to be a brand new start for Safilo, leaving the issues firmly behind us and focusing on executing with excellence so that we can recover sales growth and increase profitability. In our plan for 2018, we took a pragmatic and moderate approach to consider a progressive restoration of healthier operating conditions in our core developed markets, and a coherent continuation of more positive trends in emerging markets. Our minimum target this year is to fully cover the exit of Celine and possibly go above that. 2 months into the year so far, and the trends that we are seeing by market and brand are confirming our expectations. In Q1, we have clearly an easier comps basis in all areas but North America, which was the only region that was not affected by the OTC go-live issues of last year. To date, we see a good underlying improvement in the performance of some of the more difficult markets, in particular France and Spain, with the latter benefiting from the launch of Love Moschino, an important new license with which we can play better in the quite competitive Spanish contemporary consumer segment. In the North American wholesale business, we could possibly see a continuation of the trends recorded in Q4, as the business environment in department stores remains challenging and we progress with the development of our contemporary brand portfolio, now enriched also with our new Rag & Bone license. In the US, we also continue improving our sales force capacity and capability in the independent opticians channel. On the other hand, our emerging markets should continue to drive ahead. In 2018, we need to increase our adjusted EBITDA margin through the improvement of our gross margin, driven by better sales mix dynamics and further sourcing and logistics efficiencies. And as Eugenio anticipated, we aim to complete by the end of 2018, 1 year ahead of the original plan, the announced 25 to 30 million cumulative overhead productivity plan we had announced in 2016, with 15 million euros of overhead savings expected to help the 2018 P&L. In 2018, we continue to expect a solid level of CapEx expenditure, focusing investments into our core product supply chain and IT projects, but we will also leverage more on the assets created by the investments in the past 3 years, and thus we expect to decrease somewhat the level of expenditure compared to the past. The key driver of our 2018 plan is based on the successful operational and commercial execution of our brand strategies. The development of our own core brands remains at the heart of our efforts, and this year, as also last year, we have the whole set of 360 brand assets at hand, supporting the development of each brand from product collections to in-store materials. So we are trying to give a continuation to the good work done last year and identify new areas of growth. This is the case, for instance, of Carrera and Polaroid, where in 2018 we are planning to launch their e-commerce business, a very important business channel still missing for both brands. Our targets this year for Smith are to consolidate its success in the sport business and above all to continue expanding its reach into the more profitable eyewear category and into Europe. Continuation also in the development of our optical strategy, and here our brand Safilo is meant to play a key role this year. On our license portfolio, we are today assuming a stable business, both for Dior and Marc Jacobs, while the other core licenses, Jimmy Choo, Kate Spade, Boss, Max Mara, and so on, we think we are well positioned to recover some speed across the different consumer segments where each of our brands play. As you know, this year we're launching three new brands, Moschino and Love Moschino, and Rag & Bone, important add-ins to support our plans. We have straightforward objectives for our regions, and starting from Europe, the key action is excellence in service levels everywhere and in South Europe in particular, which is even more strategic to pursue credibly a strong optical strategy. We also need to continue growing our Northern European markets as we started to do last year. In North America, we have just recently appointed a new experienced leader to drive the development of our large independent opticians channel, and as mentioned, its related Salesforce capacity and capabilities. At the same time, on this front, we want to continue building business with alliances and buying groups in the US, which are large important players in the markets and who value Safilo as an independent alternative supplier. The launch of Rag & Bone and further development of our strong portfolio of fashion and contemporary brands should also allow us to have a more stable business this year in the North American department stores, offering great product at affordable value. Finally, we have a quite clear engagement also for the development of emerging markets to expand our extensive brand portfolio in many of the white spaces we have, certainly also leveraging the new and strengthened distribution partnerships which can effectively support our growth. So this concludes our prepared remarks, and we are now ready to open the Q&A session.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are joining us today using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that is the star key followed by the digit 1. We'll pause for just a moment. And again, that is the star key followed by the digit 1. We'll take your first question from Alberto Cecinato from Fidentiis.
Hello, good evening, everybody. I got two questions. The first is about your manufacturing footprint and whether you plan to further rationalize your footprint or the mix of your footprint between Europe and non-Europe countries. And the second one is about your retail business in the U.S. and whether your stance about the retail business has changed, so if you're planning or not to dispose of the business, or if you consider it as a marketing tool, as you said previously in the past. Thank you.
Okay. I'll take the two questions. I think with regards to the manufacturing footprint, of course, one of the key considerations that we have for the manufacturing footprint overall is that where we have been able to successfully increase in-house production, we will continue to do so. And particularly in our Chinese factory, we have made a lot of progress here in the last years, and this has also continued in 2017. I think that in the rest of our footprint, particularly also the Italian one, we are very focused right now on improving the efficiency and the cost of operation of the factories, as well as making the factories, let me say, more flexible, so that as we look to fluctuations of the volume, we are more easily able to react and respond, which is also something that we have quite recently announced and started to do. With regards to the retail operation, I think we started the turnaround plan of retail sort of in spring of 2017. We were very focused on stabilizing the big decline in top line. We managed a stable level of sales, comp store sales, in the third quarter, and we actually managed to grow about 3% in the fourth quarter, which is a good thing, and it's actually a growth rate that we also start seeing at the beginning of this year. So I think that the stabilization and return to growth of retail, which then will also in the next foreseeable future, it allow us to improve the profitability, is something that is positive. We have set ourselves a goal that by the middle of the year 2018 is when we want to complete this sort of turnaround plan. If at that point in the year we then, with a healthier asset, with also some store closures, so we will continue to close some of the non-profitable stores, if at that point in time we have a healthier asset in our hands, I think on the one side we may say we want to keep this and we want to continue driving it, not because it is a great marketing tool that may be a side benefit, but because it is actually a value-creating asset for the company. Or if at that point there is an interesting divestiture alternative, maybe we will consider it. In any case, turning it around is the most important mission to maximize the value.
Caller, do you have anything further? And again, that is the star key followed by the digit one. We'll move next to Cedric Rossi from Brian Gagner.
Yes, good evening, everyone. I just have two questions. The first one is regarding the outlook for 2018. I just wanted to know if you are comfortable with the current consensus forecast, so meaning more or less a mid-single digit growth, organic growth, and an adjusted EBITDA of between 55 to 60 million. And the second question is regarding if you could give more flavor on the order intakes, whether the feedback from your customers has materially improved, and if the DC, the Padua DC issues are clearly behind you, and do you feel that your customers are now reassured that you came back to the normal situation? Thank you.
Okay. On the 2018 market consensus of 1.06, 1.07 billion in sales and EBITDA on 60, I don't know what are the assumptions on foreign exchange in these numbers. And of course, I would say that the strength of the euro against the dollar will represent a headwind. But let me say that assuming a constant exchange rate scenario, I would say that the growth rate assumptions expressed by these numbers, we could consider them quite feasible. On the second question, I would say the order intake at the beginning of this year has started, I would say, well. As we commented, we were particularly encouraged by the turnaround in some of the southern European markets, Spain and France in particular. So let me say that the feedback to our brands, to the new collections, is very positive. The market is also now, capacity-wise, able to take in the new collections, which is good, and we are able to deliver them at normal level. So the whole distribution center issues, we put them behind us really already from middle of 2017. We have been running normally on that side for the second half of 17. We continue to run normally now. The important thing is that after really a very difficult Q4, the order taking of Q1 is very encouraging. And as we all know, March is a critical month for us because we actually start shipping the spring-summer collection of the new year. So a lot of the start of the year will depend on the coming weeks.
Thank you.
And as a final final reminder, that is the star key followed by the digit one. We'll hear next from Domenico Ghilardi from Equita.
Good afternoon. Two questions. First is on the outlook for 2018. I wonder if you can provide also some indication on the free cash flow generation, because really 2017 was quite disappointing. You are pointing to a reduction in CapEx, but I'm trying to understand the operating free cash flow that you see in 2018. And then on the 15, just a clarification on the 15 million savings that you are expecting for this year, do you mean already, say, contributing to 2018 or just the run rate at the end of the period? So it's something that will spread over 2019 in terms of savings.
Yeah, on the 15 million of overhead savings, this is the P&L impact that we expect in the year of 2018. And these are projects that either we launched last year and they're carrying forward with the P&L effect into 2018, or they are projects that we have started to implement since the beginning of the year. So this is the impact of this year, and then there may be again some of that carrying forward and into 2019, 15 million for this year. With regards to free cash flow, of course, the free cash flow of about 70 million, 71 million negative that we had in 2017 was a consequence of the dynamics of the business, and in particular, you know, with a decrease in net sales, with a decrease of going forward sales on top, we simply didn't have enough receivables, if you wish, to collect. And so the most important thing is that we now, with the restoration of order trends, we are also able to restore the cash collection. DSO overall went slightly down, so there's no issue on that front. And the inventory,
what about the inventory? Sorry, because basically it was pretty stable.
So on the inventory overall, from a cash absorption point of view, it was a negative 1 million, so relatively little. Days on hand have gone up slightly by about 3 days. It's of course not the direction that we want to go and that we are firmly planning to go, but considering the volatility in net sales, the stable performance of inventory was, you know, let me say could have been much worse. So I think there we are, we were stable. So for 2018, let me say that we probably expect all in all to be flattish or slightly positive, so we don't expect 2018 to be a big year yet of cash generation, but certainly it is not something that we expect to further erode.
Okay, thank you.
And at this time, there are no additional callers in the queue. I'd like to turn the conference back over to Mr. Roselli for any additional or closing comments.
Okay, I mean, if there are no more questions, I think we can close here our call, and we will come back, of course, in May for our trading update. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.